on Wildy and Tausch with Hall of Famers. Not Browns Hall of Famer. You're in the Browns Hall of Fame already, too? Is that, what did you?
You know, they don't have an official Hall of Fame. They have like a Ring of Honor type thing.
Then you're at Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And is it the snap streak and Ring of Honor? Or is it one?
You know,
is it adjacent?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thanks.
They put my snap streak in the stadium before I got into the Browns Ring of Honor. And when I went back for the Ring of Honor or whatever they call the club, I don't remember if they took the snap streak down to put my name up or not. It's a great question.
Oh, so just wait. So you don't even know if you have
I can't
both.
Remember because, honestly, the side of the stadium that I sat in when I went to the games this year
lie to you, that's a flex.
Was the other side.
That's a flex. Well, I'm not sure. I know I'm in the Ring of Honor. I don't know if that one is still there or if there is a banner.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question so I could give everybody the opportunity to know that, hey, how many people have two things in their team's Ring of Honor?
Not very many. So before we get into Brian Gutekunst and what he had to say yesterday, number one, wideout, urgency, there's a lot of stuff I want to get your opinion on. Myles Garrett, what would you advise? Because if you're looking at it, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He has been fantastic. Does he want to finish his career as a Brown, or they're in it, and I don't know exactly how much you can say, but with the quarterback situation where they're at, they need a reload. If the Packers call, young ascending team, and they offer something that the Browns would take, what would you tell Myles Garrett? Yes or no? What would you advise? He comes to you and said, Joe, I know you had a chance to go to the Broncos. You finished your career in Cleveland. Would you have done anything differently? Or what would you tell Myles Garrett to do?
So I don't think Miles has to make that decision right now because I don't think there's any trades that are going to happen until we find out what the Browns are going to do at quarterback. So we'll have a much better idea if you're a Cleveland fan to figure out, hey, what are the Browns going to do? They have the number two pick in the draft. They don't have a lot of cap space, but they've shown a willingness to make some trades and to kick the can down the road a little bit, especially when they feel, which they do, that they have a win-now team. They've got talent across the board. Of course, they could use a little bit more here or there, but they've got a great defense. They're loaded at cornerback. They've got a generational pass rusher in Myles Garrett. They've got some other ascending defensive linemen. They've got a good offensive line. Running backs a little bit in flux because Nick Chubb got hurt, but that's an easy position to replace in the NFL. And Jerry Jeudy had a great season this year after they traded for him from Denver. David Njoku's a Pro Bowl tight end. So, like, they have all the pieces in place, and that's why they did the Deshaun Watson deal in the first place because they thought, hey, all we need is a franchise quarterback. And so I think with that in mind, you will see here through the draft what the Browns' intention is this season. If they still feel like, hey, we can get a Sam Darnold type, we can get somebody like that, or we can draft a quarterback number two, and now we're right back in the playoffs. Or if we don't feel like that, all of a sudden they're going to start trading their pieces. They're going to start trading draft choices to move back to do what they did a few years ago when they were rebuilding, which is, hey, we want to collect draft picks. We want to save salary cap space, and we want to trade our veterans away to plan for the future. And so I think once we see that, then I'd be able to give young Myles Garrett a little bit better recommendation. But I think for him, reflecting on my own experience, I think there's a huge benefit looking back at his own legacy if he plays with one team, which is something that you did, something that I did, and something that very few players in today's professional football actually get an opportunity to do. So if you have that opportunity, I think it's pretty rare, pretty special, and it's pretty meaningful when it's all said and done to say, hey, I was a Cleveland Brown. Hey, I was a Green Bay Packer my entire life. That's my identity. That's who I was. That's who the fans know me as. And there's no confusion about when I go in the Hall of Fame what helmet I'm going to be carrying when I walk up there. And I think that is something that's meaningful not only to you as a player who's reflecting on your own legacy when it's all said and done, but also to the fans and how they remember you. You're only wearing my team's favorite helmet.
Okay, so we don't want Joe talking to Myles Garrett as a Packer fan. Yeah.
Definitely not. No.
So we would love to have Myles Garrett. He is... What makes
Could
him...
you give up three first-round picks? Because that's what the price is.
I understand.
Be.
Yeah, Goody's not giving up three first-round picks.
He doesn't trade for anybody. He ain't giving up a six-round pick.
I don't think that's going to happen. But before we get into the Goody comments, how can you explain how important it is to have one of those guys, a T.J. Watt, a Myles Garrett, what it does to you as an offensive lineman, and when you get up in the Wednesday meeting and they say, we ain't letting this guy wreck the game. how much that helps the rest of your defense? Because right now Green Bay doesn't have that guy.
As much as I love offensive linemen, we're only as good as our weakest link, right? We're a chain because we can't move, but the defensive line can. So if I'm a great left tackle and my right tackle stinks, you think that great player that usually lines up over me is going to line up over me? Probably not. They're not going to waste that guy, so they're just going to move him to the other side. So they're going to find the matchup.
Did you like
best.
That? Like, if let's say it was a TJ Watt or whoever, did you like it when they were like, I'm going to go over to the other side. I think I'll have better success.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe you go against more of a, you know, just a guy.
So I always knew, like, if I would go against a guy like Von Miller a little bit early in my career, Elvis Dumervil did that a few times.
JJ Watt came over a couple times. Dumervil could be off the ground
this
high.
He's 5'8 and a half.
Ugh.
In his stilettos. And, you know, then he can bend too, and he gets up under you with that inside hand.
And he's just strong as a bull.
He's super strong. But we digress. But I think for a pass rusher, like, he is the second most important person on that team behind quarterback, because quarterbacks are closer on offense and a pass rusher is your closer on defense.
Yep.
And as much as we want to like double team, want to slide to that guy, like when the game's on the line,
you
can't sacrifice resources on offense to put two or three guys on one pass rusher and then only have four guys in the route and have everybody else on the D-line one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
which now the defensive line coach, the defensive coordinator, they know where all their one-on-ones are going to be. They know where
walk
the slide's going.
Walk linebackers up. Don't let the back come
exactly.
out to chip. Yep.
So they now all of a sudden their playbook is super juicy because they know what the offensive line's doing, where they're sliding, and who they're chipping. So now all of a sudden you get a one-on-one, and that's why we've seen TJ Watt be as dominant as he has been, right? Because they're winning the game or it's tied. The other team's offense takes the ball. They need a field goal or they need a touchdown, and they got to go one-on-one. And he's going to jump the count because he's been listening to that snap count all day. He knows all the keys and indicators from the quarterback and the offensive lineman, whether they start rocking out of their stance, squeezing the football, the quarterback opening his hands, whatever it is, dropping his butt sometimes. Like, he's going to jump the snap, and he doesn't care if there's a five-yard penalty. It doesn't matter because he knows at some point in that drive it's going to be a sack fumble and the game's over, and he just closed and did exactly what he's getting paid to do.
Yes, it did, and that is something Goody is going to need to try and find. It's hopefully Rashawn Gary. Hopefully a lot of these guys, younger players, will take a step, but they're getting not that young anymore. All right, Jesse. So Jason, who's taking a day off, well-deserved, by the way,
and he's scheduled to appear at 11:15.
Yeah, he can't help himself.
But
he loves working.
10:15, and he's calling in and waiting on the hotline.
He had a great question to Brian Gutekunst, and I thought some very interesting sound yesterday. Let's hear this little exchange between Jason and Brian, and we'll get Joe's reaction.
Spent a lot of time today talking about a lot of really good things, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of growth and a lot of really good players you have on your team. You talked a little bit about inconsistency, but I mean, the bottom line is you did finish 11-6, and you didn't get to where you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go into 2025, like, what is your challenge? Like, what is your, like, hey, this is title town, this is about championships, we didn't get to where disappointed you about this year that you need to be better about?
Yeah, you always have some disappointments in the year. I think for me, the thing that's been on my mind, I think, as we've concluded this season, is we need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency. You know, these opportunities don't come, you know, the life of a player in the National Football League is not very long. We got a bunch of good guys in that locker room. We got a bunch of talented guys in that locker room. And, yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships, right? And I think they're ready. I think they're, like I said, I think they are wired right. I think that group is the kind of guys that can do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go do it. You know, and we fell short in some areas this year that, like they always are every year, a little frustrating. But at the same time, you know, I didn't think they blinked, you know. And so I'm excited about the group. But the sense of urgency, not getting complacent. You know, some of these guys have now proven themselves to be NFL football players and have attained that. But, like, you know, what's out there for us as a team that we're willing to commit to and sacrifice for. And you know, so that's kind of the – if I'm looking at one thing, that'd be it.
Sense of urgency. Things happen, and you had an 11-year Hall of Fame career. Was there a point in your career where your urgency jumped up, and maybe there's younger guys? How do you balance that when you know every year veteran guys are going to be leaving, more young guys are coming in? As a leader on that team, how, I guess when you heard Goody's comments, what went into your mind?
I was thinking about Myles Garrett, because every year you get older in the NFL, the sense of urgency goes up, because you realize that your window to hoist that Lombardi trophy and to put that ring on your finger is closing, and you're getting closer to the end of your entire life, your identity, which has been since you were a little kid playing peewee football, junior Lancers in seventh grade. I've been a football player. This is who I am. And the dream from the day you started playing was to win a championship, whether that was middle school, now high school, WIAA, state champions. All of a sudden you go to college, you want to win a Rose Bowl when you're at Wisconsin. Now you want to win a national championship. You get in the NFL, it's Super Bowl. And that dream and that opportunity to be a champion, that window closes every single year. And I think that's one of the issues that you have when you have a young team like the Packers, which I think, again, this year we're the youngest team in the NFL, which is amazing.
Yeah.
As talented and as well as they have played, they're still super young. But you don't quite understand when you're young how quickly those years fly by. You just think it's forever.
Oh, we got another year. Oh, well, these guys are under contract.
It takes forever. You go in there in training camp, and you're there at 6:30 in the morning, and you don't go home back to your hotel till 9:30 at night. You get an hour of watching the Olympics, if the Olympics are on, which I used to love in training camp. And you go to bed and you go do it again for 6 weeks in a row. It's not like college where you have 2.5 weeks. So it feels like it's forever. The seasons are super long because, you know, 20 games. If then you playoffs, you got more. And so I think you get caught and lost in the moment and the monotony of the day-to-day. And you don't realize until you get a little bit older. And as you get older, you start realizing, like, hey, this might be my last chance. You know, year seven, there's a lot of great players who only played 7 years. Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame guys, 8, you know? And so I think that comment about the sense of urgency was interesting, and I think it was a reflection of the youth and maybe a little shot across the bow for the young guys that, hey, you may think everything's good, we're having a good season, but good is not good enough unless you win a championship. And that's the new mentality in college football and in the NFL. Look at Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. They're ready to run him out of town. Mm-hmm. Never had a losing season. The way it used to be when we were growing up was, hey, you make the playoffs, you're a good team, you're maximizing your talent, that's good enough.
Yep.
Now it's like, you need to be getting better every year, and then you need to win the Super Bowl, or we're getting you out of there. And it's the same with the players. It's not just with the coaching staff. Like, hey, if this team's not getting better, even though you think you're doing a good job and your coach is giving you attaboys, like, we're going to find somebody else, because we need to find a solution to our problem why we didn't win a championship, and we're going to turn over every stone, and there's nobody that's safe.
What is the right mix? Because this has been a young team. You want to stay young. You don't want a bunch of old guys that are kind of on their last legs. But I think he said, you got some pros now. You saw the Packers beat every team they were supposed to, outside of the Bears, which, you know, again, it was what it was. They were kind of locked in. And a team that can't get over the hump against the big boys. How do you balance that and say, you went out, picked up Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, both were home run pickups. Goody also has to have that sense of urgency. And he just had great success jumping into the free agency pool, but you know that's not the sustainable way to do it. What do you do if you're Brian Gutekunst?
So I love the Packers' philosophy in general. It's kept them competitive for a long time, right? Since 93.
And having Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Was it 93
too.
When
Hall
Brett
of Fame
Favre
beef
came
and
in? Maybe
Hall, 92.
I remember sitting in my dad's living room in Brookfield, Wisconsin, watching on the little TV that had the pull knob. And I remember Magic Man got hurt and Favre goes in. My dad goes, oh, season's over, you know. And from that point on, they've been great almost every single season. And they've had that success. But I think if you reflect back on all those years and only 2 Super Bowl wins, which came with 2 of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and some good fortune, I think they need to realize that in today's NFL, when you feel like your barrels are loaded, you need to shoot your shot in that season. And what the Rams did a few years ago when they made the big swing and they traded Goff and they brought in Matt Stafford and they were willing to get rid of draft picks to try to get talent right now, like proven talent right now, because this is a win now team. I think in today's NFL, if you want a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl, and you have a roster that can win a Super Bowl, you got to take that shot. You got to trade some draft picks, maybe swing for the fences, push some salary cap dollars into future years. And hopefully the fan bases understand that, hey, we're shooting our shot right now here for the next 2 or 3 years because we have the dudes. But it might hurt us a little bit in a few years when we're rebuilding, but you have to stick with us because this has been the plan. And as long as we consistently draft pretty well, which the Packers have always done, you're going to still keep your cupboards pretty well stocked, even though you don't have that high-end talent. And to me, the one thing the Packers are missing on this team is who are your truly great players? You got good players all across the board. But who are my great players when people talk on the national shows about, all right, who's the best tight end in the league? Who's the best quarterback? Who's the best receiver? Who's the best pass rusher? Who's the best defensive back? Like, other than Zaire Alexander, who was hurt most of the year and probably is going to get cut this year at the end of the season, I don't know if the Packers have one guy who's in the top five, maybe Josh Jacobs, but in the top five at an impact position.
And that is going to be our next topic. I had a great text.
What a transition.
From, that was fantastic. I had a great text from my buddy Danny in Bristol that we're going to get to.
Too.
That is that exact point about good, but how many great. And when you think great and you think gas station, it's Quick Trip. Life is busy. Quick Trip gets it, whether you're craving fresh coffee, like Joe, a tasty bakery treat, like me, a quick grab-and-go meal, like Jesse. Quick Trip is your go-to. Variety and quality, fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries and everything in between, Quick Trip's got you covered. Plus ATMs and free air for your tires. Nothing free in this world, but there is air at Quick Trip. Nature's Touch Butter, $2.99 a pack. Variety of bagels, 99 cents. Or 3 for $2.79, and their chicken, roasted whole chicken, $6.99, and 8-piece fried chicken or tenders for $9.99 on Wednesdays. You can get pizzas, $6.99 on Tuesdays. Everything you need at Quick Trip. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer. Order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time. We will get into, I'm fascinated about the receiver position and how many impact great players do you need on a roster? And how many does Green Bay have? We'll delve into that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Welcome back in to Wilde and Tausch. Yeah, it's been fun. Joe Thomas hanging out for the morning with us, with Jesse and myself. And been some good talks on, I'd like to get Myles Garrett in. Joe is not going to help us in that recruiting effort, which is okay. Then we'll have to go to Max Crosby. We'll try to get him. Impact players. And that's where this conversation is going to go here. And I am a big Brian Gutekunst fan. I think he has drafted well. I think the roster that he had when he took over, he has jumped into the free agency a lot more than his predecessors did. And in today's NFL, I think it's been important. If you miss on a pick, you go and find someone else. And what Brian Gutekunst does that I really appreciate is he is not interested in the old names. He's not interested in paying 32 and 33-year-old pass Von Miller's and some of the, he's not, that's not where he's at. But I have to take a look, and I know there's some people on Twitter that get after me about my standemhood of Brian Gutekunst, and I am looking at, why is Green Bay not playing on the divisional round? What happened this season that we were unable to get over the hump? And I think if we really want to take a long look, it's probably, do we have the dogs? Do we have those Joe Thomases, the Hall of Fame players at these elite positions, or do we just have a lot of really good players? So, Jesse, take a look at the Green Bay Packers roster, and let's just kind of delve into, Joe, if you're telling me, obviously quarterback, obviously left tackle, pass rusher, corner, what am I missing as far as where you need to have those monster impact guys?
Yeah, it's really those four positions, right? It's your quarterback. You want to have your blindside protector, which, you know, now that I'm not playing left tackle anymore, I would argue that it's better to have a good offensive line
as a group,
rather than having a great left tackle and then having one weak link anywhere along that offensive line. Because like we mentioned previously in the show, since you guys were listening, of course, for the entire time, if you have one bad offensive lineman, the defensive line is going to find that guy, and they're going to put their best player that they can over that dude when it matters, and your guy's going to get beat, and then you're probably going to lose the game. But cornerback, quarterback, pass rusher, and then pass catcher.
Okay, so I got this text, and Danny is a great fan of Wildean Tausch. He really loves Jesse. And
hey, Danny.
His question, Goody has done a nice job of drafting good players and developing depth, but has struck out on game changers. They have zero guys that you have to game plan for. Maybe Edgerrin Cooper has an opportunity, but right now, nobody. So we have a lot of work to do. Who are the Green Bay Packers game-changing players?
Oh, snap.
That's the question. And I would argue this. If you're asking me right now, who are the Packers game changers? It's the two guys that Brian Gutekunst picked up in free agency. Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. And Xavier McKinney had a really good year. I believe he was all pro. No, he was a pro bowler. 8 picks. Did he have the monster impact that we hoped? I would say yes. Is he a game changer? Is he Troy Polamalu? He's got to prove it more. I don't know if he's at that level of Ed Reed, but the rest of the guys, I don't know how many other game changers the Green Bay Packers have on their roster.
And it's interesting because what are the two positions that teams pay the least for on offense and then on defense?
Running back.
And safety, or maybe linebacker. And it depends on the type of linebacker, yep. Right? More of the 4-3 off the ball. Yep. But if you're a guy like Edgerrin Cooper who could line up and rush, like you have a different value, obviously, than just your off-the-ball traditional inside linebacker. But in today's game, unless you're playing safety like Troy Polamalu, which you're almost a pass rusher at that in that scheme, the way they would blitz him all over the place, and you're disruptive, like you can have a limited amount of impact on the game because a lot of times you're playing deep and you're in coverage. And yes, you have an opportunity to pick the football off, but it's not like teams are going to throw at you if you're a stud. Like when we would play against Ed Reed, we're like, we're just not going to throw over there, yeah, right?
I remember vividly when we played Pittsburgh, it was we didn't even get into our run install, and it was, where's 43?
Every time.
And it was, 43? All right, you better make sure, don't let him wreck a game. And we had plays drawn up where we were comboing up to him and letting a linebacker go, and of course he still ends up scooping and scoring a fumble. We get beat by 7. Go. So he is a true impact player. So safety, but that's the thing. I don't know. Like if I'm game planning against Green Bay right now, like in Philadelphia did last week, I don't think there is anybody on the D line that they put that target on. Like, all right, we got a chip here. We got to do this. Now I'm sure they did, but they also had Lane and Jordan out at tackle. I don't know if that's the case, and that is something that when you talk about urgency, that's going to be something on Goody's checklist.
Who are the guys that you have to game plan for? That's the litmus test of, is this guy a game changer at a game-changing position? And I don't think the Packers have that, because even Josh Jacobs, as great as he has been, he's not really a game changer because he's not a big home run hitter like some of these other running backs like Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. Like, he's a very good back. He was excellent in their scheme. He gives you a great dynamic to be able to just ground and pound guys. Like, the fitness level that he has is amazing. When I called that game against the Saints, he touched the ball like 9 times in a row and he doesn't come out. He'd have a long run and you almost always see a running back tapping their head and going to the sideline. He doesn't need that break, right? So he is that battering ram that can bludgeon you over and over again, but he's not a guy that can hit explosive plays. And I think the Packers hope Christian Watson can be that guy, but he just hasn't proven it consistently. Mm-hmm. And I think if he's able to take the next step and stay healthy and prove consistently he can be that game-changing guy you got a game plan for, maybe, but he hasn't really given us enough confidence yet at this point in his career that he's going to become that player.
Can a tight end be a game changer?
No.
So Travis Kelce's not a game – well, not now, but in the past, was he not a game changer?
He changes the game, but you don't game plan for him specifically. I think
– maybe somebody
should. He can hurt you.
They would have three championships.
He can hurt you. He can hurt you, and he's going to hurt you on third down and in the red zone. But normal down and distance, if he catches a 7 or 8 or 10-yard pass, you're okay with that. But it's those guys that are able to beat you even when you got coverage rolled to them down the field. Think about like the Tyreek Hill type guy where they're like, oh boy, we got to scratch half our coverages this week because we can't let this dude behind us. Or this guy's going to catch 15 balls for 150 yards against us if we don't double team him on every single play. Like, think about Belichick, how he used to attack an offense. It was like, all right, who are the
take
two guys?
Take this guy away.
We're going to take away. Yep. We don't care if we have to double team every play. We have to move our best pass rusher out there to whack him at the line of scrimmage before he gets off the ball. But we have to do whatever it takes to slow this guy down. And I don't think you have that conversation about any tight end in the league.
I would disagree with that. I think Gronk, and there are some Shannon Sharp back in the old days, but
even still, to me, they were a product of having a good offense elsewhere that opened up those guys, and you could always split Gronk out because he was going to get a good matchup, right? A little guy on him, just throw the ball high, and he could make plays in critical moments. But in your normal down and distance, we'd never. Now maybe we should have. We didn't exactly smoke the Patriots all that often, but we didn't worry about Gronk taking the game over from the first play and all of a sudden being this force you couldn't stop. It was usually because they're spreading the ball to their receivers, they're opening up space, then they're getting creative matchups with him in critical moments, those third downs, those red zone situations. So I'm not saying they don't have value, yeah. But I think if you have a great tight end, but you don't have a Patrick Mahomes at quarterback or a couple guys on the outside to create that space for your tight end, I don't think they're the game changer that you can completely rely on by themselves.
What about a Lane Johnson or a Penei Sewell or some one of these guys that you can really lean on when it's third and short, when you never have to worry about? You wouldn't say game changer. What would you call
Lyman,
a Joe Thomas?
You and I, we can lose the game real fast. Trust me, I've lost some games with the Browns where guys got around me or I made mental errors or mistakes, and we lost the game. But we could sit there and pancake five guys on the defensive line, but if the quarterback doesn't throw it to the right guy or cornerback makes a good play, like, it really doesn't matter. It's all for naught. And so I think to have a pair of great tackles like the Eagles do or the Lions, like, that's great. That's a luxury because now you don't have to worry about putting more resources into pass protection. And you don't have to worry about maybe a war dog, war daddy like Myles Garrett coming off the edge, TJ Watt, because you feel pretty comfortable about that matchup. But it just gives you an opportunity to now throw to your playmakers.
Well, it's abundantly clear that Green Bay has some work to do in that regard, because as we're sitting here, I think there's two guys that you would probably say are game changers, and I think you could fight and argue whether or not those positions are the ones you want them to be. Is Jordan Love a game changer? I would say at this point he is not. I think he's a good quarterback that has a room to grow, but he's not where some of these other quarterbacks are. We'll have more questions. You know what, Jesse? I want you also to start delving into the YouTube, as you like to call them, dwellers. Let's get some questions there. I want to talk some Badgers since we have one of the all-time great Badgers here. We want to get into that a little bit. Want to get into your Detroit Lions thing. But I also want to make sure you need a little extra cash. You know where to go. FortreaClinicalTrials.com. Have some studies going for you to grab a little cash. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60. Body mass index 18 to 32. Joe, you don't qualify. Study involves 2 stays, 15 nights, 7 follow-ups. $13,820. That'd be nice to have, though, in your pocket. Receive another $300 per qualified participant. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com. All right, so we have not hit on the Lions game against the Commanders. And Jesse Nelson has said some things over the course of the week that makes me think he's a fraudulent Packer fan. I know that is a strong word.
Very strong.
I am going to ask Joe if he believes that there's a little fraudulence to Jesse's Packer fandom. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Go, baby, go, go, go.
Welcome back into Wildy and Tausch with Hall of Fame Beef. I don't know, is that what Annie calls you, Hall of Fame Beef?
That was her nickname for me, and we've rolled that into a business name. We figured it was perfect.
Oh, so you also sell beef. Right. Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. How did that podcast...
Nelly.
What are you Woe Nelly in? He's a Hall of Fame beef guy. What are you?
You're right.
You're the one that you can take it whatever direction you want to go. Yeah.
And where's the yellow wrapper?
He's selling.
Now can I do it?
Hey man, you got access to those buttons. You do what you want. You do what you want with those. How was doing a podcast with Annie? Because Annie is, for everybody that doesn't know, she is super entertaining and fun.
She's way more fun and funny than I am.
What was some? Did you guys ever get into like personal squabbles or stuff when you were doing it, or was it all professional?
You know, I would have loved to. The issue is when we did the podcast, it was mostly an interview type podcast.
You're
where
interviewing
we had
others.
We had a Badger player, yeah. And so it was more of an interview type stuff. But I wanted to kind of parlay that into like a little more like relationship funnies, you know, because everybody has those and you can relate to them, and I think they're, you know, you could maybe
so
kind of weave in some
I'll tell you this so
it.
I'm not putting you on the spot. Biggest
okay,
pet
you.
Peeve I have two that my wife does. She refuses to turn lights off. I don't know why.
It's because you pay the electric bill and she
not
doesn't.
That, no,
I got yelled at for doing that this
we are
morning.
A joint yeah. household. Blah, blah. I don't sure. fully understand. Like, you'll come back, you come home, you'd be like, why are the lights on? What are we doing? And it doesn't seem, it doesn't phase her. And then she burns stuff, man. I had to give her an oven, an embargo last year because she burned. And then last night I had people over. We played Euchre in honor of Bob Euchre. By the way, the game cool. Euchre is not from Bob Euchre.
It's not. I'm surprised.
Great game. Do you play?
I like Euchre.
Need to get
I
you
played
in.
A ton as a kid.
Yeah.
Haven't played a lot lately because you got to have somebody that knows how to play the game, right? And
Well, Sarah's a good Euchre player.
Well,
I don't know
play.
If
Annie's okay.
Okay. Well, then that'll
and
all...
I'm the world's greatest, so I feel like that would be a fair matchup here. Tauschers versus Thomas.
I've said wow. I'm not a top five in a lot of things. Sheephead, I put my resume against anybody's.
Really?
Euchre, I'm a good player. Yeah. It's just... But we started going, you have to get four tricks if you go alone in
okay.
order to get... Or you get bumped.
Yeah.
So that's another thing we'll get to. But pet peeve, she burns stuff, man. She, I don't know what it is.
Huh.
Come up, my buddy comes down last night. He's like, hey, that pizza's really crisp. I said, what are you talking about? Grab some pizzas from Quick Trip. And Sarah claims Max was in charge. But let's be honest, the pizza is black. So those are my kind of the two pet peeves. What do we got
so,
from Annie? What are your
you
pet
know,
peeves?
It's great to put the kid in charge, but when you're the parent and your child
I'm not
is
gonna,
like 12,
listen, I don't
13,
know if,
14
I'm
years
not
old.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if Sarah's listening. Did
as
she
a
listens?
Supervisor, don't you think you're still in charge?
No, you got to teach responsibility.
No, I get that. But when it's as important as a Quick Trip pizza for
I
your
know.
Friends, you can't allow 100% independence.
I
trust but verify in this situation, Mark.
I could not agree more.
Right.
And those are kind of my... But the lights is the biggest pet peeve. And trust me, if she's hosting her own show, I have a litany of pet peeves that irritate her. What say you?
She always takes my toothpaste.
Well, she just doesn't have her own toothpaste?
She does, but mine is always perfectly placed on the counter. Like,
you don't put toothpaste. It in the drawer. You leave it up.
No, no, no.
On
yeah,
the...
yeah. So I'm like a maximum
you have
efficiency
two sinks,
guy.
I'm assuming,
I like to maximize
right?
everything.
You guys got dual
two
vanities.
Sinks. So we got two
yep.
sinks. So for me, everything I need is perfectly laid out so I can just grab it. She is likes a beautiful look. Like, that's important to her. Me, as you might expect, as you're looking
you
at a guy wearing snow camo on
efficiency.
A Friday here with no snow. Efficiency.
Yes.
The way it looks doesn't matter. She wants to put everything away every night. And so then the most convenient thing
oh,
is
God.
To take my toothpaste, which is over there. But instead of putting it back like a child, she takes it and puts it somewhere I can't find it.
So she puts it away in somewhere that's not even in your
and then I can't find it.
But she likes that it's out so she can use it, but then she doesn't like the look.
You can understand why it's a pet peeve.
I totally understand that. Oh, Jesse, what do you got?
Okay, so I am the one who leaves the lights on as a reminder to myself to go back to the room. So I am on Sarah's team on that one.
That's not surprising.
But on the other hand, I love leaving stuff places as same thing. If there's a piece of mail or a like I don't know something that needs to be done around like laundry that needs to be. If I leave that sitting out for a minute, that's a reminder to myself like I need it. So I'm Team Joe on. I'm gonna leave my stuff where I want it. Don't move it when. My wife, Becca, when she moves stuff that I have sitting out because she wants to tidy the place up,
mm-hmm.
then I lose it and I forget to do something. And then it's like a week later. It's, oh, did you take that to wherever? Like, no, I didn't do that. I haven't even seen it out yet. I leave stuff out as a reminder for myself. So I'm definitely Team Joe on this one. Anti-Team Tausch.
Yeah. So just a real quick life hack that I learned with all the travel we did living in Europe last year. Passport, right? They always tell you to put your passport in the safe when you go to a hotel room. But what's the one thing that you're probably going to forget when you leave is the stuff that's in the safe, right? You're hurrying to catch your train or your plane in the morning. Oh, I forgot my safe. I forgot my passport in the safe. And now the rest of the trip is canceled. But if you take one of your shoes that you're going to wear the next day, put them in the safe with your passport, you're not going to walk out of the room with one shoe on. So you'll never forget your passport again.
Unless you pack numerous amounts of shoes,
well,
which
see,
I don't.
Don't you put out, like if, let's say you got an early flight, don't you put out like your outfit and your
yes.
shoes you're going to wear?
Yep.
So of that outfit with shoes, take one of those shoes and put it in the safe.
Now, are you also, when you're That's going and you're bouncing around, and you did that a bunch, it drives me nuts that you have to bring all the suitcases up to the hotel room. But can't we just, it's one night. Can't we pack in a duffel and then leave all the other suitcases so we don't have to lug everything
well, we're getting
up?
Into another pet peeve of mine. What I don't understand is if we're going to take a weekend trip, like we're going to the Super Bowl in a little while.
That's what
like,
I heard. You're hosting.
Hosting. That's right. I'll be hosting the Super Bowl. Mark, you're invited.
I
Jesse,
can't wait.
You're invited. Pending your qualifications.
Sweet.
If we're going to go and I give you the weather and the events we're going to go to, you know what we're doing, and you can just pack the outfits you're going to wear. We don't need to pack our wardrobe of options and then decide when we're there. Let's just make that decision now, and we can pack everything in a nice
duffel
bag.
And I'm the crazy one to say, why are you packing so much stuff? But in fairness, when you're packing for the kids, it's different. I have this great backpack. I put all my stuff there, and then kind of Katie bar the door. I just say I don't even fight on if you want to bring three bags, great. But do we need to lug them for a one-night hotel stay before we get to the place we're going to stay for three?
But you're still fighting it. That's the
point. No, I'm annoyed by it.
I know, but you're still fighting it. You have not fully
but I've
released
given,
that
don't
from
you
your
feel like when you give
brain.
In, like I've given a ton here. Can't we win on this back here?
So you would rather have five bags in the
married?
Back of the car than have just one?
Who
that
cares? It's the back of your car. You're not using it for anything
well,
else.
It just seems like when you're loading and unloading the car, you're like, oh, which one's the first stop bag? Which one's the second
the one
stop
you
bag?
The duffel bag.
For
the one night, Jesse, whatever.
Yeah, he hasn't traveled enough.
Calling all Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants you and a friend to experience the best Badgers day ever at a Wisconsin home game of your choice in the 2025 season with pregame field access, incredible seats at Camp Randall, and exclusive Badger swag. American Family Insurance has you covered. Go to amfam.com/badgers to enter the Badgers Best Day Ever sweepstakes that is open to legal residents of all 19 states who are 18 years or older. One person, one entry per person. AmFam.com/Badgers. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully. Oh, I got to finish up too. Jeez. I just told Joe this. I have a newfound respect for Wilde. I'm sitting here doing reads. I'm getting in and out.
Wow.
We're going to get before the 11 o'clock.
Compliments, by the way.
Kudos, grinding, grinding.
Rob in Michigan, big fan of your work today.
Staying on the clock. Somewhat. Jesse, somewhat. Better than what we've done. Better than what we've done.
It's better than a Bulaga day, for
All
sure,
right.
yes.
We are going to hit on the Detroit Lions Commanders game, and we're going to finally get Jesse to tell Joe why he's not a fraudulent Packer fan, even though there's a lot of story to tell that he is. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
Back at you here. What a fun show. We're almost 2 hours in. We got our last segment almost on time. Clock management, Jesse.
It's 10:58.
Jesse, hold up a second. From what we're accustomed to, with Jason running the show, this would have started at 11:05. Like I'm 7 minutes ahead of schedule, if my math is correct. Fair?
You're doing great, old
Thanks,
team.
Buddy. I'm
You're
not looking
great.
For I'm just saying my clock management, me and Mike McCarthy, very similar. All right. So, Jesse, can you explain to Joe? And, Joe, you were a Packers fan. Obviously, now you have a lot of allegiances to the Browns because of your great career. But, Jesse, can you consider yourself an all-time fan of a team if you root for their biggest rival not once but twice in your lifetime? And what I mean, Jesse went with Brett Favre. He abandoned ship and went to the Minnesota Vikings full-fledged for 3 to 4 years. And now is rooting for the team that has gutted the Green Bay Packers the last three seasons. Ended our playoff run in 22, won the division in the last 2 years, and he's pulling for the Detroit Lions to win a championship. Is that not fraudulence when it comes to being a Packer fan?
So I believe it's fraudulent if you were cheering for the Minnesota Vikings when Brett Favre was there, which you made it seem like he was cheering for them the whole time.
He did.
It wasn't just when they were running.
He's
the
rocking
playoffs.
A purple jersey. He was like wearing skull horns.
I was upset. I was again.
He was doing the blah blah horn. What's that big horn that they do?
The Yaller horn.
Yaller horn. That's a silent J, right?
Actually, I got to blow that when I was doing Thursday Night Football pregame. And little known fact, it actually makes no sound. It's completely controlled with the button. It's like, Jesse,
what?
You just put your hand over the microphone and you
is
go.
Is that even if you're a pro? Boy, that'll be a gift. You understand we're on video. I just want to let you know that.
That's what you do.
Maddie Hayes is going to gift the heck out of it. I can guarantee it. So you're
that's
telling me
Yaller
you
horn.
Blow into that horn and there's nothing. Even if you're a pro
I don't even think
Yager
you can
horner,
blow through it.
There's nothing in there.
I think it's fake. There's a wall on the inside. Like you can't even blow all the way through it. It's not real.
What a bunch of you know what?
They're
I always knew the Metrodome. It was all
Packers
fake news up there with the loud noises.
Yeah.
They pump all that
in.
And they even pump their Yager horn thing.
Yeah, the Yager horn's fake.
Oh my god!
It breaking news.
What a joke. Anyways, I don't think you realize what you're doing there, but you keep doing what you're doing. So, Jesse, that was ridiculous. I think Packer, obviously, everybody loved Brett Favre. I get all that. But once he leaves, it's over, man. It's over. You're a Packer fan.
Yep.
But now,
go with
the Detroit
colors,
Lions,
the
he goes, oh, I went to Detroit once, and it was a nice town, and oh, they struggled for so long. I want to see the Lions win a championship.
Is that your Jesse voice, Tosh?
That was a good Jesse, by the way. That was
super whiny
image.
And nasally. Yeah, that's
I don't
what I was
sound
going
like
for.
That at all.
So this side, I'm actually on Jesse's
okay,
team right
tell
here
me
because
why.
You said their biggest rival. The Detroit Lions
the
have
last
been the
3 years?
Doormat of the
for,
NFC North
for 40 years.
Ever.
But what about the last three?
Yeah, but I think that when you become a fan of a team, like it's fully encompassing of the experience that you've had from the moment you started cheering for that team till where we are today. And forever, it's been the Bears and a little bit of the Vikings, right? The Vikings always had our number in the 90s. But so that's been our rival, and you almost always liked Detroit and felt bad for him because you whooped up on him, but they always had some fun players. Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, greatest running back of all time. And so I can understand how, as a Packer fan, you could enjoy watching the Lions and then also feel a little bit of empathy for their fan base who's stuck with a program that has been terrible
forever. I felt that way 2 years ago. I didn't feel that way. They're smug now, and they
are. I don't
are.
Believe they're smug, though, because I understand if they become a smug team that are
unlikable.
Oh,
you watch
Amon
St. Brown's pod. They're just high on winning.
Unfortunately,
maybe. I got a few better things to do than watch Amon Ra's podcast.
Boy, it's pretty good little podcast.
I'm sure it's amazing for you Lions fans.
Not bad.
And now I'm wondering if you're the Lions fan here, because I don't think that's getting a lot of play outside of Michigan.
Oh, I think
Michigan,
it's getting more than
you honest,
think, but
you
okay.
never know. But either way, I don't think Detroit has that vitriol that a team like Chicago or Minnesota because of the history, the long history.
Agree.
And the fact that, and maybe you can disagree, maybe this is just my love for Dan Campbell. I really like what he's done there. I like what he's built. Jared Goff is a guy you can cheer for, right? He was discarded.
They had to throw a first-round pick to take him.
Right, like when they traded for him, I was like, what a great win for Detroit. I called my agent. He goes, they only threw Jared Goff in there because they had to get rid of his contract and they had to pay a first-round pick
to
get Detroit
that contract.
To take the contract. Well, it turns out it was pretty smart, and I was right.
Kind of a win-win for everybody.
It was a win-win.
If Detroit wins this championship.
It was a great trade for everybody.
Joe, I agree in the fact that I respect what they've done. That is a long slog. But if you're a ardent supporter of a team, you can't root for the team that is directly in your life.
While you're alive. But the Packers are done. Their season's over. They can't win this anymore. So I can understand now.
Your team,
pitching
Jesse.
Your fandom wagon to a new team that you like, that's got a lot of interesting storylines and fun things, and a fan base that has struggled forever. And maybe this is just because I see a lot of
Cleveland and Detroit.
In Detroit and Buffalo.
Okay.
So
I'm pulling for Buffalo.
Just like the NFL, I want to see Buffalo
and Detroit. I want Buffalo to win a championship
this year.
And by the
way, I don't want Detroit to win the Super Bowl.
You
I just want them to get – I want Buffalo to win the Super Bowl.
He backtracked.
Now I'm really confused.
He didn't like,
has conveniently
he didn't like
left
the vitriol
out.
That he got online, so he's backed away, which is
right, because I've always
so
been afraid of the vitriol
online.
So you
just want him to win one more game?
You just want him to get
You want him in the Super Bowl to lose?
I want him in the Super Bowl.
So, Joe, you're telling me you – You're on a good Browns team, and you win it. You win a couple.
When was that?
I'm just trying to be nice.
Oh, thank you.
And then Pittsburgh is a nice little upstart, and they come back. They hadn't won the division. You're going to pull, for Pittsburgh.
Now, Pittsburgh to me, the rivalry Cleveland and Pittsburgh have is like
Bears,
Chicago.
Packers. Okay.
Yeah, it's very different.
It's different. There's a hate there. There's like a long history of we don't like each other, fights in the stands.
River
like,
battles.
Pittsburgh different. Fans, Cleveland fans, they have hated each other forever.
Okay.
And I think a more analogous
That's all right.
situation.
Really, well done.
Think about it for a second.
You really crushed
it. It's been a while since I've been in school. would be Cincinnati. Because when Cincinnati was in that Super Bowl against the Rams,
you were pulling
I was
for
pulling for Cincinnati. I like Joe Burrow. I was cheering for Cincinnati.
Okay.
And but once they win one, it's over. Like the valve has gotten shut off.
Changed.
I don't care about you anymore. I want to be
just one.
I
just
changed
one.
After the Cubs and how I was like, oh, they've been so long suffering. And now they're insufferable, and
well,
I don't want to see that
for
Detroit.
Yeah, you get high on your own success.
It would be like the Pittsburgh Pirates going to the playoffs if you're a Brewers
Paul
fan.
Paul Skenes.
Like, exactly. And you like your guy in the Pirates there. Like, they're the lovable losers who have been down in the doormat for so long.
That's right.
And now they have a chance to eclipse it and get up. And then Tausch has conveniently left out my strongest argument for this whole situation, which
convenient.
Is the further the
Smart.
Lions
an
go,
inconvenient truth.
The further the Lions go, the more chance there is they're breaking up that band. Aaron Glenn and Ben John, they're not going to come back and say we got unfinished business
point.
Next year. Break it. Now that the Packers are out, let the Lions get to the Super Bowl, get them their one, get to say they were there more recently than the Vikings and Bears, which is hilarious.
And Packers.
And then get them out.
Yeah,
make
we
them
just
reset,
fundamentally disagree. I don't. There's a lot of what Joe is saying resonates with me. But the fact that they have beaten us the last three, and they are our number one rival right now. They are. And it sounds crazy because they've stunk for so long. But they are the team that has won the division the last 2 years. They have a good core in place that they're going to be good. Their coach is fantastic. There's a lot of things. If you're a Lions fan, you're excited. Yeah, I know. I butchered the clock, even though I thought I had crushed it. Now, we just wait a second. I want to make sure. Are we doing a two-minute break after this? I want to make
sure. That is correct.
All right. Well, Joe is going to fill in and... He's no sleeper, but he is going to give us a read for Steinhoffels.
That's right, because this is the last weekend to save big during the winter sale at Steinhoffels. Upgrade your home and your winter travel. Get a free Tumi backpack or tote when you spend $1,999 or get the Tumi Voyageur duffel when you spend $2,999 or more. And make your dream room more affordable when you use Steinhoffel 18-month 0% financing. Shop in-store and online at steinhoffels.com.
What a pro. Nothing sleepy about that, Reed. And he crushed it, and he threw confetti up in the air like a champion. Well done, Joe. That was a Hall of Fame read by
go.
The Hall of Fame
You're
beef
welcome.
In Joe Thomas. We are going to talk Badgers.
Yellow Jacket.
This whole deal is the college football landscape, and I imagine Joe might be rooting for Ohio State now because they've been so long-suffering, too.
Oh,
like
stop.
The Lions.
When have they been long-suffering?
You just don't understand
wow.
this
I don't
argument.
Understand. We will understand in 2 minutes when we come back from break.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.